He raises his chin. I said, so every night you'll be running the lucky spot as husband and wife? Liar. But the liar makes a good point, and his remark reminds me that Charlotte and I are going to need a game plan for managing this fake engagement at work during the next few days. Or maybe not, since it'll be over soon. Once again, that thought churns my stomach. Before I can answer Abe's inquiry about how we'll run our business, Mrs. Offerman joins us, inserting herself into the impromptu interview. Everything okay? I never thought I'd think this, but boy, am I glad to see her. Just catching up on how quickly Charlotte and Spencer became exclusive, the reporter says to Mrs. Offerman. Very quickly. She arches an eyebrow, and her curiosity seems to set in. Is that so? I knew it was fast, but wasn't sure it was quite so recent. Turns out I'm actually not happy to see her. Not at all. Especially since she says those words like they're poisonous. Charlotte clears her throat, pushes a strand of hair behind her ear, and meets Mrs. Offerman's gaze, then Abe's. It is recent, as we've said many times. Everything happened quickly, but that's sometimes how it goes when you fall in love, isn't it? Charlotte says as she runs her fingertips along the sleeve of my shirt. There's a layer of cotton between us, but I swear her touch ignites my skin, leaving a trail of sparks in its wake. She tilts her face and meets my gaze. My breath catches when she locks eyes with me, and briefly, the rest of the restaurant ceases to exist. I nod, swallowing dryly as I do. I'm not sure who my answer is meant for. Her, them, or us. But my yes feels honest, at the very least, and that matters to me. Charlotte rises on tiptoes and brushes a soft kiss to my lips. When she pulls away, she hooks her arm through mine and stares at the reporter. It's not a problem that he was seen with someone else a few weeks ago. Doesn't change a thing. It doesn't change how I feel for him. Abe has no more questions, at least for tonight. She's managed to throw him off the scent of our charade. I flash back to our playful revenge on Bradley at her building gym the other night. Sure, Charlotte got a kick out of the show we staged for her ex, but that kiss on the treadmill to make him jealous was nothing compared to what she just finessed for me. She keeps saving me again and again. My heart trips over itself in a race to get closer to her. Something is happening. Something strange and completely foreign. My heart is speaking a language I don't understand as it tries to fling itself at Charlotte. Great. Now that's two organs I have to do battle with every day. When it's time for the show, my father commandeers my attention on the brief walk across 44th Street to the Schubert Theater entrance. Everything okay? Absolutely fine, I reply, because the last thing I want is for him to worry. A cab screeches by, spewing out exhaust, then slams on its brakes at the red light. The reporter was annoying, but nothing I haven't heard before. My dad shakes his head. I meant with Charlotte. Everything okay with her? She's fine, I answer with a smile, glad that my dad cares more about the woman than the story. He points to Charlotte, walking several feet ahead of us with the others. You two are perfect for each other. Don't know why I didn't see it before, but now, as I see you together, it's like it was right in front of me all along. Like a hawk swooping down from the sky, the guilt returns. This time it plants claws in my chest, settling in for a long stay. I shove my hand through my dark hair. My father is going to be so disappointed when Charlotte and I break up. You're such a hopeless romantic, I say. He laughs as we slow our pace when we near the crowds milling outside the brightly lit marquee. That's why I run a jewelry store. Not much longer, though, I point out playfully. You're a free man soon. I know, he sighs, a wistful note in the sound. I'll miss it. You'll be happy to be retired, though. He nods several times, as if he's bucking himself up. I'll be happy to spend more time with your mom. She's the center of my world, like Charlotte is for you, he says, clapping me on the back. Yeah, weirdness. It's happening now for sure. Chapter 20. The usher seats us. Charlotte crosses her arms and heaves a sigh. You doing okay? She nods. Her lips form a straight line. You sure? Because if I were a betting man, I'd say you're pissed.
I'm fine.
I arch an eyebrow skeptically. Are you sure nothing's wrong?
Nothing's wrong.
She uncrosses her arms, grabs my shirt sleeve, and shifts gears instantly.
When are we going to make a voodoo doll for that reporter?
I pretend to stare thoughtfully in the distance. Let's see. I've got that on the calendar for tomorrow at 3. That still work? She nods vigorously. You bring the pins, I'll get the cloth. Excellent. I'll find an instructional video on YouTube so we can do it upright. She beams, then whispers to me as the overture begins.
I hated those questions.
He was trying to play hardball, and it's such a pointless topic. You did great, though.
They were embarrassing, she says,
then beckons me closer as fiddle notes carry across the audience.
Do you think he's on to us?
It felt that way, but I think he was just lobbing questions to see which stuck.
Did you like my final answer, though?
Like it. I loved what she said about things happening quickly. More than I should. It was fantastic.
I did good with that one, didn't I?
She says, blowing on her fingers like she's too hot to handle. My heart plummets, then craters to the floor. That sinking feeling comes with the recognition that I wanted some truth to what she said. I wanted something in it to be real. It was thoroughly believable, I say, managing a smile that is fake, and her answer is a reminder that even though for some unknown reason I don't want this to end, Charlotte is over and out in 4 more days. She'll be done, but I'll want to keep this up. The first number begins, and I think, no, I'm sure, that this is officially my least favorite time at a musical ever. Watching it hurts. Charlotte is quiet as we wander through Times Square, having said goodnight to my parents and the Offermans. We thread our way through the crazy crowds and the glitzy neon of Manhattan's famous sardine tin, sort of a mosh pit meets a zoo of people in a city of millions. A man painted as a silver robot makes jerky gestures next to a top hat collecting a few coins. A guy peddling Statue of Liberty keychains bumps into Charlotte and knocks her with his elbow.
Ow,
she mutters. You okay? I ask, and reach my hand to rub. Instinct, I suppose, to take care of her. But I pull my hand back. She doesn't want it or need it. She can take care of herself.
Yeah, I'll be fine, she says, shrugging it off.
And hey, we survived another performance. Of Fiddler? She shakes her head.
No.
She adopts the tone of a radio announcer. And tonight at 8 p.m. we have another rendition of Happily Engaged Couple. I wince. Right, that one. This is when I should make a joke, when I should reassure her, when I should tell her thanks once again. I say nothing. I have nothing to say. A bald man with 2 gold teeth barks out offers to a half-nude comedy act. Half-nude, half-off! Someone shouts back, all nude, all off? We pass a theater and then a t-shirt shop, and sidestep a couple in khaki shorts, white sneakers, and FDNY t-shirts. I have no idea where we're going. Honestly, I'm not even sure why we were walking on Broadway in the first place. I think we just went in a U. What is wrong with me? I can't even navigate my own city anymore. We reach the corner of 43rd and stop on the concrete. A bus crawls up 8th Avenue. Tourists circle us as we stand awkwardly, facing each other. My whole life, I've known what to do, how to move forward, how to meet life at every curve and bend. Tonight, I'm thrown, and I barely understand how to put one foot in front of the other. I scratch my head.
Where are we going, Spencer?
I shrug. Hadn't thought about it.
What do you want to do? She asks, clasping her hands together as if she's looking for something to do with them.
Whatever works for you, I say, jamming my thumbs into the pockets of my jeans.
Do you want to go somewhere?
If you do. She sighs.
Should I just get a cab home?
Do you want to get a cab? I ask. And I'd like to kick myself. I can't stand me right now. This indecisive, uncertain dude in a funk who is trying to take over my body. I don't know him. I don't care for him. And I didn't give him squatter's rights in my body. I'm going to have to muscle him out of the way. I hold up a hand.
Scratch that, I say, with drummed-up confidence. This fake affair might be ending in a few more days, but I'm not going to mope my way through the best sex of my life. I'm going to rise to the occasion.
Scratch what? Getting a cab? I shake my head and park my hands on her shoulders. This is what I want to do right now. I want to take you back to my place, strip you naked, run my tongue across every inch of your skin, and then do that thing I told you I would do to you when we were in Catherine's.
Her eyes sparkle, then shine with desire. She nods eagerly.
Yes. There. Beautiful. I grab my phone from my back pocket to order up an Uber, since catching a cab here is impossible. As I tap my details into the app, she places her hand on my arm.
But, there's something I wanted to tell you first.
Oh, shit. My heart pounds. She's going to end this. She's had enough. She's gotten her fill. She's saddling up for one last ride tonight, and then she's putting me to pasture.
What is it?
I ask, and my heart feels like it's in my throat.
Remember when we said no lying?
Yes, I swallow, bracing myself. The tension ties itself into knots in my chest, and I don't like this feeling. I don't want to ever feel this way. It feels like need and dependency, like something I barely know.
Are you going to... I spit out.
Going to what?
In this, I ask, because I can't take it anymore.
She laughs.
It's not funny, I insist.
It is funny.
Why?
She shakes her head.
You idiot.
She grabs my shirt and brings me closer to her. My heart throws itself against my ribs.
This is what I wanted to tell you. When you asked me what was wrong before the show started and I said nothing, that was a lie. I was jealous. Terribly jealous.
I rewind to Charlotte crossing her arms, to her making jokes about the reporter, to her being proud of pulling off the act.
You were jealous? I was trying desperately not to be. That's why I let it go and made the joke about the voodoo doll.
Why were you jealous? She rolls her eyes.
All those women the reporter was naming. Hearing about them made me jealous.
Why?
Don't you get it?
No, but we've already established you need to use the ABCs with me. So go ahead, spell it out, I say, tapping my temple and mouthing dense.
She blushes, then speaks softly.
Her voice is barely audible above the noise of the street, the sound of the crowds, the roar of traffic, but every word is music.
Because they were with you.
My lips quirk up.
Like how I felt about Bradley when you were with him, I admit. And it feels freeing to say that. More so, to give voice to something I'd felt but barely understood at the time.
You felt that way when I was with him?
Sometimes I did, I say, flashing back to those days when she was with the Supreme Douche.
There were nights when she left the lucky spot early and went home with him, and my mind wandered to her. Sure, I had women to keep me busy, but now and then the green-eyed monster paid me a visit. I'd be a sap, though, to tell her all of that. I've got to protect some of my secrets. I hold up my hands.
Go figure.
Spencer, she whispers.
Yes?
I think we broke another rule tonight.
I arch an eyebrow.
Which one, lying?
Yes, but also, we speak at the same time, weirdness. Then we laugh. Together. From the way you asked me to the show, to me being jealous, to the reporter being a wiener, it was all weird, she says. She gives me a knowing look. There's only one cure for weirdness. Anal? She swats me on the shoulder. We're not breaking that rule, ever, she says, her eyes drifting to my crotch. I was thinking more like doggy style. That's what I meant to say. I kiss her until the car arrives. Then the rest of the way downtown. All the way up in my elevator. And as I open the door. And then as I strip her naked and lay her on her stomach on my bed. Chapter 21. Starting at her neck, I kiss my way down her body. I travel along her spine, licking a path across her sexy, beautiful back. She sighs and wriggles on the bed. She turns her head to watch me, and I near her ass. I drop a kiss on one cheek. Don't worry, no rules being broken. And just so you know, I'm fine with having every other part of you. I only tease you when I say that. She smiles back at me, her way of saying thanks. I do like the soft flesh of your ass, though, and I'm going to need to spend some time here, I say, drawing a line at the bottom of her right cheek. She raises her rear higher, inviting me to kiss her. I lick a line around the curve of her cheek, first one, then the other, and she wiggles against me, a soft little moan falling from her lips. I press my teeth against the flesh and bite gently. Her moan rises in volume. Lust beats a path through my veins. I'm hard, ready, and eager, but I won't rush things, because I'm loving every second of this. Pressing my thumbs against her cheeks, I lift up her ass and surprise her with a slow, lingering lick along her wet pussy. She gasps.
Didn't expect that.
I can tell, but I can tell you like it.
I do,
she says breathily. That's all I give her of my mouth right now. Instead, I return to her legs, wanting to work her up, to get her hot and wet from all over kisses. I run my tongue down the back of her thigh. Every inch of you, I say softly against her skin. I want to have marked and kissed and touched every single inch of your skin.
I want that too, she says on a whimper. Her voice breathy, the way she gets when she's heating up.
I already know her cues, her signs, the way she responds to me, and it's only been a few days. I love knowing her body, knowing her tastes. Like this. The back of her knee is an erogenous zone. I brush my lips there, and she makes a tiny, sexy noise. I move down her calf and kiss her other leg all the way to her ass again. Then, I grip her cheeks, tilt her hips, and bury my face between her legs. She tastes silky and sweet as her liquid arousal floods my tongue and her scent fills my nostrils. She rocks back into me, and my desire for her ratchets into this deep, clawing need in my chest, in my bones. All I want is all of her. I kiss her sweet pussy until she comes on my lips. When I step away to strip, she flips over. Her lips are parted, and her eyes look glossy. Her skin glows.
Wow, she says.
I wiggle an eyebrow in response as I shrug out of my shirt.
I think I'm addicted to your mouth, she says softly.
Good, because my mouth is addicted to you. When I reach my pants, she sits up and takes over, unzipping my jeans.
I want to do it.
She tugs off my briefs and my cock says hello to her. She makes a sound like a purr.
Good to see you too, she says, and darts out her tongue to lick.
She swirls the tip of her tongue around the head. But before I get lost in the magical world that is her wickedly wonderful lips, I move quickly. I grab her hips and flip her over. Hands and knees. Like a good, dirty girl, I tell her.
Am I a dirty girl?
You are with me, I say, as I move to grab a condom. I stop, though, to admire the beautiful sight in front of me. Charlotte, on all fours, her gorgeous ass raised in the air. I smack it once, a light crack on the side of a cheek. She flinches, but lets out a sexy little cry.
Oh, God,
she moans. That sound, her words, her noises. This woman is a dream. She's discovering how much she likes everything with me, and I'm learning how much I adore fucking her. I bend my head to her rear and press a kiss to the spot I smacked. Then, in a flurry, I grab her wrists and push them down on the bed. Changed my mind. On your elbows. Ass up high. She bends like a dancer, following my lead. I drag the head of my cock through her wetness. She moans and shifts closer, wanting me, inviting me, needing me. I spank her once again, and she yelps in pleasure. I roll on the condom and sink into her. White-hot sparks shoot through my veins. The tightness, the heat, it's astonishing. I growl, low and guttural, like an animal. You, I say on a groan. You're so sexy. I think I'm going to set up camp here all night. She laughs and moans at the same time.
You're crazy.
No, I'm just fucking turned on beyond anything I've ever felt, I say, my voice rough as I start to pump. She's silent suddenly. No moans, no cries, no wild pants. A small but clear voice asks,
Really?
She cranes her neck to look up at me. My God, she's all vulnerable, her eyes so trusting, her body bent in a downward slide. Yes, I answer as I slam into her, giving her all of me. My hands clamp tightly to her hips. I swear, Charlotte, you fucking do something to me. I pull back out of her so only the tip is in. She writhes, trying to draw me back. You drive me wild. You make me crazy. I thrust deeply, and her breath spills out in a gorgeous moan. I just can't get enough of you.
Oh, God, I feel the same,
she says, and bends lower, lifting higher, offering more. She's all I want, all of her, as I fuck her like this until she comes in a frenzy of sound and heated cries. My muscles tighten, my vision blurs, and my own climax seizes my body as bright, hot pleasure crashes over me. I flop down onto the bed, and she flops next to me. Resting her head in the crook of my arm, she stays like that, hot, sweaty, and naked. Absently, I run my fingers through her hair. She brushes her hand across my stomach.
That was amazing, she murmurs. I think that was our best ever.
I'm going to give you a gold star for excellence in orgasm delivery.
A statue, even.
I'd like to thank the Academy, I begin, teasing her. She swats my chest.
So you were faking it?
Fine, so was I, she says with a huff. In an instant, I'm on my hands and knees pinning her. No, you were not faking it. Her eyes taunt me.
Yes.
Yes, I was. You weren't. But just for that comment, you're going to show me how much you like it when I fuck you. In a flash, I raise her wrists over her head and lower my arm along the side of the bed, feeling for her dress on the floor. I grab it and yank off the ribbon from the belt loops with one hand. I wrap it around her slender wrists, then around a bedpost. Her eyes track my hands the whole time as I tighten the pink fabric. Pretty in pink, I murmur. Then I run my fingertip against her lips. I locate another condom and roll it on my dick. Yes, I'm fucking hard again. How could I not be? She's tied to my bed, still wet from her first two orgasms. Of course I'm fucking erect. I spread her legs, savoring the sight in front of me. Her legs in a V, her hands bound, her eyes wide open. I wedge myself between her thighs. Now you're going to beg for it.
I am?
You are, I say roughly. Because you're not getting all of it until you do. I slide in, but I only give her a few inches. I lower to my elbows so I'm close to her and proceed to slow fuck her for the next several minutes, teasing her the whole time, never going all the way in. She moans and writhes and rocks beneath me, every thrust eliciting a new sexy murmur from her. Say it. Say how much you want me.
I wasn't faking it. I was joking when I said that, she says on a pant.
Tell me how much you want it all. Tell me how much you want all of my cock. Her hips shoot up.
I want you. I want you so much. Fuck me deep. I'm begging you, she cries,
and she is begging, and it is exquisite to witness her desperate sexiness. I fuck her hard and deep until she is out of her mind with pleasure, until her cries turn hoarse, until her eyes squeeze shut, until she can't stop saying my name as she falls apart once more. Multiple orgasms sound pretty damn good to me, too, so I join her, coming again with a shudder that jolts my whole body. When I untie her, she raises a hand to my hair, drags it through, and kisses me.
I lied.
That was the best time ever. It gets better every time, I say softly. Soon, she stands and starts to gather her clothes. Spinning in a circle, she hunts for something on the floor. What are you doing? I ask, curiously.
Getting dressed.
Pourquoi?
So I can go. Isn't that the deal?
I crawl to the edge of the bed and tackle her, arms around her waist, surprising her.
What are you doing?
She shrieks. I toss her on the mattress and tickle her. She cracks up.
Stop it!
I don't relent. My fingertips race up her sides, making her squirm. I'll stop if you spend the night.
Mercy! Mercy!
She calls out, and she's smiling, as wide as the sea of stars in the sky. I tug her to me, brush her hair away from her ear, and then whisper, Will you stay? Her breath hitches.
Yes. You don't care if we break another ground rule?
We're still ahead. I mean, I don't care, so long as you don't try to kiss me the second you wake up.
Because of morning breath, right?
I nod. Not yours, just in general. She wrinkles her nose.
Morning breath is an excellent new ground rule. I hate morning breath.
Me too.
I don't have a toothbrush, though.
I have an extra one. Never been used, I tell her. She places her index finger on her lips as if she's weighing all the options.
But what flavor toothpaste do you have?
A blush creeps across my cheeks. She notices and points.
Don't tell me you use bubblegum Crest.
I shake my head.
No.
I bought the kind you like, the minty Crest. Her eyes sparkle, and she brings a hand to her chest. It's the sweetest thing.
You bought me toothpaste.
She sounds happier than when I bought her the ring. My heart beats faster, and words start to form on my tongue, words that reveal strange new feelings inside me. I part my lips so I can say something, tell her how much I am starting to feel for her, how real it is all becoming. I stop when she lowers her mouth to mine and whispers,
You really are my best friend.
Friends. Yes, that's all she wants to be. Chapter 22. Harper licks lemon ice cream in a cone.
This doesn't make up for Santa, she says, pointing at the treat as we leave her favorite gelato vendor. But it's a good start, and you've bought my silence for another few days.
Good. That's all I need.
Saw the picture of you and Charlotte this morning.
She nudges me as we walk along Central Park, en route to a quick softball practice with our team's star slugger, Nick. The three of us snag the field for 30 minutes on a Friday afternoon before the actual game tomorrow. I've got my glove and bat, and Harper has her glove in her free hand.
You really can't stay away from me online, can you? I tease her.
I know. It's a terrible addiction I have, my gossip fetish.
So it ran? The one from Sardi's? I ask, confirming what I suspected Abe would do.
Yep.
That reporter from Metropolis is such a tool. She furrows her brow as she licks the icy treat.
Wasn't in Metropolis.
As we turn into the park, I ask, well, where was it? She shakes her head, bemused.
I really can't believe you don't look this stuff up about yourself.
Believe it, I don't. Never have. Tell me.
It was page 6.
My eyes widen. Page 6 is the big New York gossip outlet. I try to avoid page 6.
How'd that happen? I thought he worked for Metropolis Life and Times.
He's an intern there, Harper says. Abe Kaufman. I looked him up. He's in journalism school at Columbia, so he freelances for Metropolis Life and Times, as well as Page 6.
Looks like he sold the picture of the two of you to the more gossip-centric one.
What a tenacious fucker. I consider the benefits. If I'm seen on Page 6 with my loving fiancé, this could be key placement for Dad for the sale. Mr. Offerman would wet his pants to see me appear like the good, solid, soon-to-be-married son of the respected businessman he's buying the store from.
What did it say? I ask, hopefully.
She stops on the path, shoves her glove at me, and whips out her phone. She clears her throat.
Ahem.
Spencer Holiday, son of the founder of the well-known jewelry chain Catherine's, and creator of the popular dating app, Boyfriend Material, known for its lack of photos of a certain member of the male anatomy, is betrothed to his business partner and co-owner of the popular bar chain, The Lucky Spot. Charlotte Rhodes is also a Yale graduate, and the ring on her finger is as large as Holiday's little black book.
Looks like he'll have to burn that list of numbers soon, since the one-time bachelor playboy was using it a few weeks ago.
Time to zip it up, Holiday. Check back on Sunday for even more juicy photos and the full story on the engagement. Smoke billows out my eyes. I want to find that horse-faced cub reporter and throttle him. Wait, I hate violence. I'll play dirty instead and slather his Facebook page with so many nut shots he has to shut it down. Not my nuts, just nuts. Nutscapes, preferably. I drag a hand through my hair. This is everything Dad didn't want in the papers. I point to the phone. And what the hell is he going to add to this on Sunday? He kept pushing about how new it was and asking when we started dating. Like, that's interesting? But this write-up is just complete crap. Why would the reporter write that stuff? Why do they do that?
Because it sells, that's why.
But that's not why I'm reading the piece to you. I hand her the phone, and we resume our pace. Why are you showing it to me?
You really don't know why I read this stuff?
Because you like gossip?
You're such an idiot. I do it for you, to look out for you.
I soften for a moment. Really? You do it for me?
I do, because you don't. I look you up online to make sure there's nothing we have to deal with, and this is something we have to deal with.
I nod. Right. We need to figure out how to spin it for Dad. She shakes her head.
Wrong again.
She stops once more underneath a magnolia tree that canopies us with lush green branches.
Look again.
She taps the screen.
Look at this picture.
I stare at the image. Abe caught the moment when I was sniffing Charlotte's neck. My face is only half visible, but Charlotte lights up the screen, radiant and joyful. Her eyes are bright, and I swear I see a flicker of something in them, but my mind returns briefly to her neck and the way she smelled last night. The scent memory washes over me. Peaches. She smelled like peaches and dirty dreams. Like happiness and desire all at once.
See what I mean?
I look at my sister and realize she's been talking to me as I've been drifting off.
What do you mean?
She pokes my sternum with her index finger.
Don't break her heart.
I stare at her like she's crazy, but for one rare moment, Harper's blue eyes are serious. There's no joking, no teasing in them,
I like Charlotte, she adds, as we walk along the path to the fields. I know this started as a fake thing, but it's becoming real, at least for her. I start to say for me, too, but I'm too floored by her words. I'm not sure I can form my own. I was so certain Charlotte's ground rules were genuine, that her intentions were truly just for sex, and that her goal was for us to remain friends after a few fucks. But women have intuition, even my sister. They see things men don't.
Really?
Harper rolls her eyes. Ah, my pain-in-the-ass sister is back in full force. I know this is shocking to you, since your knowledge of love and relationships is woefully limited. You've never had a serious relationship.
That's not true, I say, as we resume our path through the park. I went out with Amanda in college.
Oh, well, la-dee-da, 4 months. Whoa, let me call the record books because that is so serious.
It felt serious at the time.
Spencer, this may surprise you, given the trail of destruction you leave behind, but every now and then, God knows why, a woman might develop real feelings for you when you screw her. Just be careful, especially when it's someone you care about as a friend, she says, as we reach the ball field. Nick's there already, practicing his swing.
A million questions race through my head. I want to sit Harper down and quiz her, to ask her more about Charlotte. But Harper elbows me. She licks her lips and stares salaciously at Nick.
He's so fucking hot.
I drop my bat. It hits my toes before I can jump out of the way. Did aliens just take over your brain?
Look at him.
She's ogling my buddy, who's wearing gym shorts and a t-shirt.
His arms. Oh, my God. They are the definition of arm porn. I'm going to take some pictures to stare at later.
She starts snapping photos on her phone. I'm calling the psych hospital. We're checking you in, I say, wincing because my stupid toe smarts now. Nick catches her gaze and sets his bat on the ground, leaning casually onto it, like he's some kind of star ball player.
Hey, Harper, you're looking foxy.
Foxy?
What the hell?
Down is up and right is wrong and New York is falling into the ocean instead of California, because why the hell is my best guy friend hitting on my sister?
Harper juts out a hip, coquettishly. She waves at Nick with her fingers and bats her eyelashes.
So are you, hot stuff, she says, then winks at him before she points at his shirt.
Can you take it off so I can get another shot?
Oh, yeah, he says, sounding like a stripper as he yanks off his t-shirt.
Yum.
She smacks her lips and mimes making a cat claw. She leans into me and whispers,
I am so going to be visiting him one-handed tonight in my fantasies.
My eyes pop out of my head and I clasp her shoulders. You have to stop now. We can get you help. There are treatment centers for temporary insanity.
There's no stopping this train, she says, tossing her glove on the ground.
Shoving her cone into my hand, she struts over to Nick, who's shirtless, his chest and abs on full display. Harper runs her fingernails down his pecs, then locks her arms around his neck. My fists clench, not because I want to hit Nick, but because some primal, brotherly protective instinct is curling through me.
Dude, hands off, that's my sister.
Harper swivels around.
Gotcha. That's for ruining Santa Claus for me.
Chapter 23. It takes a while to erase the image of my sister and Nick wrapped up in each other, even if it was just a prank, but I manage. Thanks to my new obsession. This photo. I can't stop thinking about what Harper said about Charlotte, and I can't stop looking at that picture on page 6, like it holds all the clues to the universe in it. I stare at it as I head into the Columbus Circle Station, having dropped my bat and glove at Nick's apartment near the park. My head is bent over my phone as I trot down the stairs, then slip inside the downtown train. I wrap my hand around a pole while a hipster girl in green skinny pants shoves her way onto the car, sliding past the doors just before they close. She carries bags on each arm.
"Phew,"
she says, relieved to have made it. But the edge of a cloth bag is caught in the door, so she yanks it free and turns in a tangle, spinning around. Something whacks my funny bone, and I cringe.
"Ow."
Her hand flies to her mouth.
"Are you okay? Is it my mayonnaise?"
"Mayonnaise?" I ask, as I rub my palm over my elbow while the train slaloms around a curve in the tunnel. What is it about funny bones that hurt so damn much?
"I have jars of pesto mayonnaise in this bag. I made it myself. I'm giving it to friends. Is it okay?"
There's terror in her eyes as she roots around in the straw bag on her shoulder. Pain radiates through my lower arm while she ascertains the state of her condiments.
"Don't worry about me. Your mayo just attacked me, but I won't file charges," I mumble under my breath as I wince.
She looks up, realization dawning on her.
"Are you okay?"
I nod. "Yes." Elbow matches my toe now.
"You got hit with mayo on your toe?"
"No. A baseball bat attacked my foot earlier. Apparently, inanimate objects are out to get me today," I say as the sharpness subsides. "Is your mayonnaise going to make it?" She nods and beams as we chug into the next stop.
"It will live.
Sorry I hit you." "It's okay. Hazard of big city living." She peers at my hand. I'm clutching my phone still. The picture is splashed across the screen.
"Cute couple."
"Oh, right," I say, raising my phone.
"They look really happy together,"
Mayo girl adds.
"Do they?"
She nods.
"Definitely."
"What do you think he should tell her?" She cocks her head.
"What do you mean?"
"So she knows how he feels." She shrugs and smiles wide.
"He should just tell her how he feels. If he likes her as much as pesto mayo, he should let her know that."
"I'll tell him to consider that," I say, when the train reaches its midtown stop. As I climb up the steps and exit into the early evening, I know this situation with Charlotte isn't as simple as mayonnaise, and that's not only because mayonnaise is my least favorite food. The lucky spot is a zoo. There's no time to think, no time to plan, and certainly no time to figure out what to do with the strange new notions that are implanting themselves in my head. I need to strategize this, but I don't even know what this is. Being more than friends? Feeling something real? Finding out if she feels the same? What is the word for this feeling? It's like my chest is a trampoline, and my heart is doing backflips on it. Only, I've never practiced them before, and if I do them again, I could land on my head. Or my ass. Or even my face. So, yeah, with a packed bar on a Friday night, I'm not so sure I can figure out what to do with the pesto mayo feelings. During the evening rush, I alternate between catching up on purchase orders on my laptop, telling Charlotte about the train attack, and helping out behind the bar, while in the back office, Charlotte works on ideas for a new marketing campaign. "Out of Belvedere," Jenny remarks from the counter as she waggles an empty bottle. "I'll grab one," I say, and head to the office, where Charlotte is perched on a reclining chair, wearing jeans and a white strappy top. When I see her, I freeze frame through images. The photo of us, the moment on the corner of 43rd, the pesto mayo, the toothpaste, the words she said to Abe the other night. My heart slams against my ribcage, and I wonder if this crazy overtime beating is why there are books, movies, songs, poetry about people falling.
"Hey, you,"
she says, and the softness in her tone wafts over me. But it's the sweetness that hooks me. That sweetness feels personal, and just for me. Yes. This is why there are books, movies, songs, and poetry about falling for someone. I roam my eyes over her. And even though we haven't christened this office or the bar yet, and even though I want to, my thoughts aren't on sex. They're on her, and on this jumble of words like alphabet soup inside my head. "Hey, you back," I say softly. I point at the cabinet behind her. "I need a Belvedere." "I'll grab it." She sets her iPad on the chair, stands, and reaches for the cabinet handle. As she stretches, her shirt rides up, revealing a small sliver of her back. "You look gorgeous," I say. She glances back at me and smiles. "So do you. Your house later? Mine?" Maybe this is just sex for her. Maybe that's all she wants. But even so, I need to know. "Yes, either," I say as she opens the cupboard, and I inch closer to plant a kiss on her bare neck. Then pain slices through me with a thunk as the cabinet door connects with my skull. It reverberates. It takes over my head, my body, every single cell. I curse up a motherfucking storm because this hurts like hell. "Oh my God, oh my God, are you okay?" she says in a panic, her hands on my shoulder. My right palm covers my eye, my head roaring as the thump echoes in my skull, epicentered in my temple. "I think you hit my head," I say, because the whack has turned me into Captain Obvious.
"Oh God."
This time she whispers the words, and she's staring at me like I've lost an eye. "What is it?" I ask, and while I'm pretty sure I'm not down to one eye, since I can still see, I suspect my face isn't pretty. "That's the biggest goose egg I've ever seen." Chapter 24. Things I learned tonight. First, I checked the calendar. Turns out it is Abuse Spencer Day, and abuse occurs in threes. But it's past midnight now, so I'd like to think the threat level has downgraded to green. But you never know. Second, the goose egg is the largest known bump in recorded human history, but 3 hours of continuous ice have not only frozen my temple, but reduced the swelling to pretty much nothing. However, the bruise on the side of my face is what's referred to as a, "Whoa, dude, that's a big-ass bruise." That's what the guy at Duane Reade said when I picked up ibuprofen. Third, ibuprofen has worked wonders. But the real test comes now. There's a buzzing near the door, and it's Charlotte, since she texted me she was on her way with supplies. I turn to Fido. He's sound asleep on the couch pillow, his tongue sticking out of his mouth. "Can you answer it?" He doesn't respond, so I drag myself off the sofa and head to the door. I press the buzzer. "Hello? Is it the world's hottest nurse that I ordered from the temp nursing agency?" Her laughter bounces through the intercom. "Why, yes, it is, and I'm here to give you a sponge bath." I buzz Charlotte in, open the door, and wait till the elevator creaks up the 6 flights, then lets her off. "You're a sight for sore eyes." I watch her walk toward me. "Don't tell me your eyes hurt, too," she teases. "No, just this," I say, lightly brushing near my temple. She's holding several bags, and I shut the door behind her and return to my couch. She sets the bags down on the coffee table and studies me. Raising her fingers, she moves them close to the bruise, but doesn't touch. "Does it hurt?" I nod. She leans over me and dusts a kiss on my forehead. I moan for effect. "So much. It hurts so much." She shakes her head, then pulls back to look at me. "Seriously, how do you feel?" I scrunch up the corner of my mouth, torn with whether to tell her the truth, getting better, or to go for sympathy and sex. My decision-making process lasts all of a nanosecond. "Awful," I mutter, and that earns me one more kiss. She sits up straight, brushes her palms together, and says, "Okay. I brought you your favorite drink," she says, reaching for the bag and showing me an airplane-sized bottle of scotch. I raise an eyebrow appreciatively. "Cold sesame noodles from your favorite Chinese restaurant?" She grabs a white carton and holds it up like it's on display. I lick my lips. Or, she begins, dipping her hand into another bag as she retrieves something wrapped in white butcher paper. The grilled paninis you love from the bodega on the corner. Chicken and provolone, hold the mayo. Since you hate mayo. Forget sympathy and sex. This is what I want. Her, here with me, knowing all these things. I cup her cheeks. I want it all, I tell her. She kisses me, but her kisses are tentative, her lips nervous. I'm not broken, I say as I pull away. I just feel bad. It's my fault. I hit you with a cabinet door. Well, it wasn't intentional. I pause. Or was it? She shakes her head. Of course not. Am I that hideous to look at now? She rolls her eyes. Please. You're gorgeous, as always. Then what is it? I just feel terrible for hurting you. I want you to feel better. That's why I brought you this care package. She gestures to the goodies. And I appreciate it. Let me get you some more ice, she says, and heads to the kitchen to grab a cold pack from the freezer. When she returns, she presses it to my forehead. Gently, I swat her hand away. Charlotte, I've been icing it for hours. If you ice it any more, the goose egg will reverse itself and get sucked into my brain. That's a very dangerous condition. She narrows her eyes but relents, setting down the pack. She gestures to the bottle of ibuprofen. Do you need any more? I shake my head. I took two at 10 p.m. I'm drunk on this stuff right now. She wrings her hands. I'm sorry, she whispers. I push my head back on the pillow. Am I somehow doing something that makes you think I give a shit that you whacked me? Unless this horrific bruise is going to stop you from fucking me right now, I don't care, I say loudly. She shakes her head. I soften my voice as I run a finger down her neck. Then stop fussing over me. I don't want ibuprofen. I don't want ice. I don't even want cold noodles, and they're my second favorite food behind those sandwiches you brought me. Hold the mayo, please. What do you want? I curl my hand around the back of her head and tug her down to me. Her lips hover inches from mine. I thought I didn't want sex and sympathy. I was right on that account. I want sex and something else, though. Sex with her. Sex with feelings. Sex with the only woman I've ever felt this way for. I whisper in her ear. You. She shivers against me, then slowly, playfully, she moves down my body. As she reaches the waistband of my basketball shorts, she wiggles her eyebrows. Pressing her hand against my erection, she says, I find it amusing that your goose egg matches your dick, Spencer. Yeah? In what way? Not color, I hope. The biggest ever, she says, then tugs off my shorts and briefs. I yank off my shirt. This will make everything better, she murmurs as she pushes my chest flat on the couch and kneels between my legs. Her eyes stay on me as she takes her time, settling in, licking her lips. Getting ready. She takes the head of my dick in her mouth, and I sigh. I groan. I moan. This is the very definition of heaven. Look it up. Dictionary. Right there. Charlotte's lips on my cock. She teases me, swirling her tongue around the head, then licking the length of my shaft. She works her way up, flattening her tongue on the underside, and heat shoots through my veins. My hips shift, and I want her to take me all the way in, but her kisses on my dick are driving me wild. The way she licks me like I'm her favorite candy is lightning along my spine. It crackles. She opens wider and draws me in, sucking the head, and my eyes fall closed as I rock into her fantastic mouth. But I don't keep my eyes closed for long. I need to see her, to watch her. Her hair spills all over my thighs, her head bobs between my legs, and her lips are swollen and red as my dick slides through them. No better image ever. Staring unabashedly at my goddess, I thread my fingers tighter into those strands, yanking on her hair. "Take more," I whisper, urging her on, and she does, dropping her mouth lower then cupping my balls in her hand. I close my eyes and hiss. And then I can't help it. I start to move, to pump, to fuck her beautiful mouth. My hand on the back of her head pulls her closer, seeking more. My skin burns up, and I'm close to tripping that switch, to coming hard in her mouth. "Fuck," I say on a rough groan as I pull her off me. I can't come in her mouth. Not when I want her this much. Not when I want her to come.
"You don't like it?"
she asks, worry etched in her beautiful brown eyes. I scoff. "I love it, but I want you to ride me." I reach for my wallet and a condom. "And I want you to ride me now. That's the only thing that will make me feel better." She shucks off her clothes in seconds flat and straddles me. I reach for her hips and lower her onto my dick, thrilling at the hot, tight feel of her. She gasps as she takes me in. "You're so wet for me." "Is that all from sucking my dick?" I ask, as I move her up and down. She nods and pants, and then she does the sexiest thing. It's like she's not even thinking about it, which is what makes it so sexy. She drags her hand over her breasts as I thrust into her. She's touching her own tits, and it's fantastic. Everything inside me sizzles. My blood runs to mercury levels as I watch her ride me like a gorgeous, languid cowgirl. Her hands brush down her belly, that flat, soft belly I want to lick and kiss. She moans and pants, and it is the hottest thing in the world to witness. She's touching herself as she's fucking me. She rides me, sliding up and down my cock, finding her friction, chasing her release. It's like she's masturbating with my dick. I want her to use me, to do whatever she wants with me, to have me in any way that feels good to her. Her breath hitches, her shoulders tremble, and she starts to lose control. Grabbing her hips, I urge her on. "Let go for me, baby. You're so beautiful when you come."
"I'm close, so close," she murmurs, grinding on me, taking me deep, her moans turning to cries.
I burn up all over as I watch her. I am comprised of nothing but heat. Her lips, her mouth, her eyes, everything. She is my fucking everything. Her hand flies into her hair, and she runs her fingers through it as her other hand plays with her tits. Her eyes are closed, and she's completely lost in her own pleasure. She is beautiful and breathtaking as she fucks me to the edge. Soon she's thrusting wildly on me, and now I need to be in this with her. "Look at me," I tell her, my voice hoarse. Her eyes flutter open. They are hazy and full of lust and passion, and something more, something that feels incredibly new and yet intensely familiar. She starts to close them again. "Look at me." This time it's a command, rough and heated.
"But I fall apart faster when I do,"
she murmurs in protest. But it's more of an admission, because her gaze locks to mine as she lowers her face close to me, her hands curling around my shoulders.
"And I want it to last," she says on a moan.
I know she's talking about sex, only I can't help but think she means something else, too, like I do. We are tethered. She doesn't look away, and I couldn't if I tried. In her eyes, I see everything I never knew I wanted. Now I need it, fiercely. She whispers my name. It sounds like honey on her tongue. I snap. My balls tighten, and I need her to come now because I'm seconds away.
"Come on me,"
I rasp out, as my climax starts to tear through me. "Come on me now." And she does on a wild cry, coming with me. She leans into me, her mouth near my ear. The epic chant sounds, and this one is new.
"I can't stop, can't stop, can't stop."
It's so hot and so wild the way she says it over and over. I love it. I love it when Charlotte comes. I love it when she's happy. I love fucking her. I love everything right now, even my goose egg, even the elbow whack, even the bat that fell on my damn toe. She collapses on me, nuzzling my neck, kissing my ear, whispering, so good, over and over. It's so good, I echo, though that adjective feels insufficient for what this has become. Everything is with you, she says, and when I wrap my arms tighter around her back, she snuggles into me. Every single thing, I say. I love every goddamn thing in the universe, and I am the happiest bastard in the world right now, here, in this room, with the woman I have fallen for. That's what this is. That's what the alphabet soup spells. I've broken the biggest ground rule of all. I've fallen in love with my best friend. Chapter 25. The bat connects with the ball with a resounding whack, and I tag up on third, waiting,